Hello there, and welcome to...
I just don't want it out of my nose.
Hello there, and welcome to Generation Code.
We'll just put that at the end.
No, let's just keep going. I am E. Christopher Clark from GeekyVoice5.com. And with me, as always, I'm going to get through it. It's Jonathan Martin of ShhListen.com and SongsThatSavedYourLife.com.
Hey, hi, everybody.
See, every time you introduce it, it's nice and professional. And every time I introduce it, it's a clusterfuck.
Yeah, you are a schmuck, sir.
I am.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to the first ever all-domestic Generation Goat.
Yes.
It is no longer an international podcast.
I know. It's very sad.
I'm back in beautiful New England, enjoying the hurricane, apparently, that's outside my window this morning.
The nor'easter. There's a nor'easter going on outside,
yeah. It's kind of scary. It's wicked windy out there.
Yeah, I was... my wife and kids went out the door this morning in the pouring rain, and I just remembered that I didn't call to make sure they got there safely.
Oh, that's it, Chris. You doomed them.
Yeah, apparently.
Without that phone call.
Yeah. Well, I got wrapped up in writing for the first time in ages and ages and ages.
So, nice. You know. What are you working on?
A comic book script that I've been talking about. Yeah, anyway.
Okay.
A comic book script. It's actually an adaptation of the very first thing I ever published, which you know well.
Wow.
Blood Red. So
playing toasters forever, people.
Yeah, yeah. I even found a way to work Teak the Flying Toaster.
Nice.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Look, as your editor, well, I'm not really your editor, but I've decided to be your editor.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever other crap you put in there, just take it out. And make the flying toaster your focus.
Okay, all right. Well,
all the rest of that is a B story.
I mean, I'll have to throw out the 7 pages I wrote this morning.
Yeah, whatever. You know what? They weren't even worth it. They distracted you from your wife and kids, and they're probably in a ditch now.
Jesus. Yeah, you're right.
I'm sure they're fine.
God damn those pages. Yeah. So anyway, so I did not call them because I was busy working on a comic book script, and that's pretty much
cool.
This morning.
You want to give us any hint about the direction the flying toaster will be taken?
Well, the flying toaster won't appear until issue 2 or 3, I think. Yeah, I know. I hear what you're saying. Flying toaster.
That's like saying, oh, it's okay. We don't need to introduce Aunt May or Mary Jane in the first 5 episodes of Spider-Man. We'll just wait.
Yeah,
they're not relevant to the plot.
Well, look, I mean, I'm kind of coming at it from the... speaking of Spider-Man, I'm kind of coming at it from the Brian Bendis school of comic book writing, which is that you take the original Amazing Fantasy 15, and then when you create Ultimate Spider-Man, you stretch those 12 or 15 pages into 6 or 7 issues, so that the dude never puts on the Spider-Man costume until, like, issue 6 or 7.
That sounds like my dissertation, actually. In the following work, I will discuss this topic. But first, let me talk about these things.
You know, just this morning I watched an episode of Geek Beat TV with Callie Lewis, and she makes this comment that immediately made me want to punch the screen, but then I was like, maybe I don't want to punch it yet, where she said the Kindle is now accepting what they're calling maybe micro stories, or not micro stories, but something to the effect of, or micro books, something to the effect of like 90 to 100 page books. And she goes on, she's like, wouldn't it be better if everything we read was, you know, 100 pages or less? That's the point at which I was like, throw a fist. And then she said,
I'm gonna cut you off right there. My Nintendo Power Guide, which is sitting on the shelf, is 162 pages. Okay, just throwing it out there. This is a book aimed at, I'm guessing 5 to 10.
So
162 pages.
Yeah, I mean, she goes on to like to narrow it down to say nonfiction books would be better off if they were all 90 pages, and if they took out the part that was like, I am going to discuss this, which, you
know. Yes, maybe, but sometimes that part's important.
Yes. Yes, I'm about one episode away from unsubscribing from that podcast.
What, a really brief history of time? I mean, you know, I once had a book on my desk when I was a network administrator. I had two books on my desk just to kind of mess with people. One of them was Unix Administration for Dummies, because that amused me.
Unix.
And the other one was Quantum Mechanics for Dummies, which I think was probably just under 100 pages. But I don't know this person. Maybe they're very nice. But
I mean, she seems fairly
intelligent,
but my microphone started picking things up. That's weird.
What, like spaceships or like stuff from in your head?
Everything was echoing.
Oh.
Anyway.
All right.
We
don't need that tomfoolery again.
We don't. How was I saying?
So she was saying that nonfiction books should be under 100 pages, and you're very close to unsubscribing, but...
Yeah, and... But, yeah. So, there's this thing, of tech people don't want to... Well, A... Tech and social media people don't want to read anything except books about tech and social media.
It's kind of
and not just them, but I have an in-law who doesn't read anything but nonfiction. Well, he makes an exception for Harry Potter books. There seems to be this thing. So like the
No, I don't eat meat. I don't eat meat at all, ever. I don't eat meat, but I do make an exception for pork. Sorry, carry on.
I think I've talked about this before, but it's this whole thing about, reading is not, it's too much stuff. We would be better off if we didn't have so much to read.
We need more to read. That's the problem.
Yes.
Most of my undergraduates, I mean, God bless them, but they don't have a breadth of knowledge because they've never read outside of like the stuff they had to read in school. I mean, I'm teaching medieval topics, which, guess what? The church is going to come up. Christianity's going to come up. Kind of relevant. And I have students who are not, foreign or from a different background who grew up, in America. And I'm not saying they have to be religious, but they're like, okay, wait, so this Jesus person is who? Now, whether you're religious or not, as I know you're not, I'm sure that you grew up with an understanding that Christians worship this guy called Jesus. Because guess what? 1/6 of the people on the planet do.
The fact that anyone in America would not know who Jesus is.
Right. I mean, what kind of politician are you? So, I mean, it's just, it's insane. But, no, we need to read more, which is why we put together this podcast.
Yes. Put together this podcast.
Yes. Roll with it.
Because we want people to...
Read the show notes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a podcast ostensibly about us and our blogs, right? And we want people to read our blogs.
Right. I should probably write on that thing.
And if we have people go to... Yes, you should. And if people go to our blogs, they will find links to our book or my book.
Your book.
Not your book. Right. Not yet.
I haven't written a book yet. Well, not one that's going to be published.
Right. Those are the best kind.
Yes. Yes. I'm writing the great American unpublished nonfiction work.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. I read the intro.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
So that's how we're getting people to read with the podcast.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It's a regular reading rainbow over here.
Yeah. We should get LeVar Burton on the show.
He's on Twitter.
He is on Twitter.
Maybe we can get him right now. Dear LeVar,
you want to, Skype into this this phone conversation? Because that we did not mention that, did we?
No.
We started off talking about how this is the first ever domestic goat, all domestic goat.
It's true. It's a regular domestic terrorist.
But we are not in the same place.
We're not. Because I don't want to be in the same house as you, dude. That's why I did something overseas.
Yeah.
No, Chris is in beautiful New Hampshire, and yes. I'm down here in Massachusetts.
Beautiful Massachusetts.
Which I guess means that we hate each other.
Yeah, apparently. I used to make fun of New Hampshire, but now I live here.
So. Although I was up in New Hampshire last week to look at some leaves and things, and all I saw were New Yorkers.
Yeah, they should get out.
I stopped at a rest area, on my way to Vermont. I opened the door to the rest area, and the first sentence I heard was, and that's why Derek Jeter is the greatest shortstop ever, am I telling you? What? Come on. I heard another guy talking about where to get the best cannoli in Brooklyn, and then there was another guy... Who actually gave us a great forget about it. but I'm not going to try to do it in the accent, but yeah.
No. So New Yorkers, like, go home.
Oh, New Hampshire. It's full of New Yorkers. Yay. Remember those commercials they used to have? Were they for Philadelphia or Toronto? I don't remember. Where there was like one guy in the middle was like, it's like a baby New York. Like, you know, clearly that tourist board was trying to put together the man on the street thing, and then they found a New Yorker who was like, oh, it's like a baby New York. It's cute.
Yeah, no, I think it was Philly.
Was it Philly? Yeah.
I seem to recall. And I think Benjamin Franklin was in that commercial somewhere.
Like, if you have nothing else to commend where you're from, except it's kind of like this other place that people like, then, you know, give up.
I mean, that was my criticism of New Hampshire for the longest time, that sort of southern New Hampshire is like northern Massachusetts. And above Concord to the west is like, you know, eastern Vermont, and above Concord to the east is like western Maine. You know, there's no real identity for New Hampshire, but I have since discovered that is not true.
Well, that's fortunate. Is it a nice identity? Because I got to tell you, we don't hear nice things.
Oh, you know, you live free or die, man.
Yeah. Not really, though.
No, not
really. They still build prisons in New Hampshire.
Yeah. But we do die.
Yeah, that's true. We got that going. They can't take that away from us.
They can't take that away from us. No fucking way, man. Nuh-uh.
All right, so the domestic goat.
Domestic goat, yes. You are in Massachusetts. I am in New Hampshire. And, you know, aside from the nor'easter outside, you know, what is keeping us from recording in the same room together is this desire to have the very first time we record in person also be the very first time we record in front of a live studio audience.
It's like, you know, when you're teaching a kid to swim, you want their first time to be like, you know, deep sea thrown out of a boat.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah. I mean, because, you and me sitting in a room together talking, we've done that a million times, right? You know?
Yeah.
We've done it in cars. We've done it, you know, here and there. We got a story about cars later I want to get to. But
this is the part where we're traveling around in cars with boys. Wait, what?
There is another boy.
Maybe. Okay, right.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, so we are going to pod camp.
You're going to pod camp. Sure.
What's that?
Going to pod camp.
Pod camp, New Hampshire. Yeah, October 23rd through the 24th. So, like, in my mind, this episode is going up on Monday the something.
Or you could put it up now, dude.
I could put it up now. I mean, you know. No, in my mind, this goes up on Monday, October 18th, my wife's birthday. Happy birthday, Stephanie. You know,
happy birthday.
She doesn't listen. But
too bad your husband doesn't care enough to even call to see if you're okay.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So anyway, so if this goes up, it'll be next weekend, this coming weekend. We'll be going to Portsmouth to record a live episode of the podcast.
Ooh, it's in Portsmouth. I should write that down.
Yes. Portsmouth. I'll get you directions. So when I proposed the session, and of course, you know, it still hasn't been officially accepted, but, you know, I know some people. I can throw some
yay! This is going to be our very first major case of public humiliation. So well, in our next podcast, you can look forward to, we were going to do a live goat, but, you know, those guys.
They rejected us.
Whatever, man. We were too intense for pop camp.
Well, you know, sessions, as long as they're not, like, too marketing, like, or, well, it's not, as long as they're not, like, you trying to sell your product.
We don't make any money at Generation Goat.
As long as they're not like you trying to sell your business, they're pretty much like parts in the Chelmsford High School children's play. You audition and you get one.
We don't make money off goat. In fact, we spend money to make goat. At least I do. So
you spend the money on the hosting. Well, I mean, I suppose I spent money at some point on.
I think you had to buy an MP3 once. So
yes.
Yeah. So we're good.
So anyway, so we'll be doing this session, and here's how I described it. I think this description is awesome.
All right.
So here's how I described it when I pitched it, and this is sure to make them accept us. Jonathan Martin, PhD, and E. Christopher Clark, MFA, provide a masterclass on how not to create and record a podcast whilst recording a live episode of their award-winning podcast, Generation Goat, in the process.
That's pretty good. I don't think it's entirely accurate, though.
You have something better?
How about something like We'll be presenting Generation Goat number 16, a seminar covering post-intellectualism, bovine human interactions in post-industrial New England, and other topics relevant resultant rather from a persistent engagement with anti-quality-based methodologies.
That's good. You know what?
Maybe we can tackle like other topics may include the wrong way to podcast, or how to deal with hecklers, or how best to incite an angry mob.
You know, I think you should just do the podcast yourself, man. I mean, you're the genius.
There we go. Done. See, I had to bring a little PhD-ism to it. my job right now is to write the most obscure descriptions of everything, basically.
Good job. I think you succeeded.
I have to write a 150-word abstract for my dissertation to submit with it.
Mm.
That's fine. It's only 70,000 words. It took me 2.5 years. I want to sum it down to 150 words.
Good luck.
So there we are. So that's our Generation Goat.
Generation Goat, yeah.
We probably will actually talk about how to put together, how to start up a podcast and
yes.
an audience and deal with feedback. And
I mean, we may only be 15 then on that date, 16 episodes in, but we have been doing it for have we been close to 2 years? Are we coming up on? Jesus.
Yeah, long time.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got some experience under our belts. You know?
We love you long time.
No time for love, Dr. Jones. We have to... we have to...
So there we are. So yeah, come on down. Throw rocks at us. We don't have an exact date or time for our session, but when we do, probably, maybe about the same time this podcast goes up, we'll stick it up on the Generation Goat website, and you can find it on the PodCamp New Hampshire site, which we'll put in show notes.
Yeah. And, I hope that you guys will come out. There's still time to register. And if you live anywhere in the vicinity, even if you don't live, come on.
Come on, man. It's a road trip.
Yeah. Yeah, road trip. I mean, there are people coming.
Fort Smith has citywide free Wi-Fi. So come get your geek on.
there's something for everyone. That's PodCamp. I was actually on Dover NH public access internet TV the other day.
Wow.
It was a mouthful. It was pitched. I don't know if that's actually the technical title of it, but
okay.
It was pitched, or it was described to me as Dover Public Access, and then it turned out it's online. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, but I was on that the other day talking about it, and PodCamp will be fun. Random stuff happens in the hallways, and I hope more random stuff happens this year. The very first one I went to, there was somebody with a guitar in the hallway, and we just sat around singing Counting Crows songs.
Nice. I could do that.
Yeah. It's fun.
Wow. All right. So I guess come to PodCamp, skip our session, hang out in the hallways, and be way cooler.
There's plenty of other time after and before our session for them to sit in the hallways. Come to our session, man.
Yeah, just come to our session. You can totally throw rocks or whatever.
No rocks.
Okay. Well, whatever. Throw something.
Yeah.
Nerf goat rocks.
Goat stones. Goat stones. Do goats have stones?
I think it's poo, dude. Oh.
Goat balls?
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
So,
We
did have a second goat outing, didn't we?
We did.
Did a scouting trip for our much mooted fun spot adventure.
Yes.
And it was good. There are photos that prove.
There are. I've not seen the photos yet.
Maybe I'll stick it up on the website.
Maybe there's even one of me actually winning a round of Mortal Kombat.
There might be.
So nobody would believe it, you know. Sure. But I think I actually did win one round. I don't know if I won a full match.
I think you may have. I think I had to continue once.
Oh, okay. Well, once,
because you were playing Jax and I was playing like Melina or something.
That's true. Yeah. When we pretty much see, here's the thing, listener. John often plays, almost always plays Raiden.
I like Raiden. Spies around.
Play Scorpion and.
And it has been thus since the comic book store.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much, it's been that way since the first time we played Mortal Kombat. There was one, either on a console or in the arcades, where Scorpion wasn't a character, I think, or something. And I was like, what am I supposed to do?
Can't play it.
Yeah. And then eventually they brought him in. in like a revision or something. But yeah, so it's only when I play somebody completely different who I have no idea what their moves are that I am able to throw John for a loop. Because there's only so many times that you can be fooled by the other player sort of like hitting, you know, back. And
I know, if only the controls were quieter.
Yeah. I mean, it's especially on the older machines, you know, it's like you really have to wrench them back.
And then I still whoop you. So yeah, still whoop. Sad, really.
Anyway, but yeah, we went fun spotting. We got lost a little bit on the way there.
So we got lost a little bit. Thanks, Google. Appreciate it.
Google Maps not doing the job.
We've never gotten lost. We've always just gone straight there, and this time it was like, oh, let's just follow the Google directions. Maybe they're faster. And
absolutely.
Ate an hour out of our time.
Yeah, and that was another rainy day. Like this.
It's almost like it's fall or something.
Almost.
Yeah.
But we'll be going up there again. We don't know when, but we will announce it next time.
I mean, my thinking is, I mean, if it's just me personally, that it'll have to be obviously after PodCamp, yes. That's short notice, and probably, I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. Like, I would say lots of people have time off between Thanksgiving and the end of that weekend. So
yeah,
maybe Thanksgiving Saturday if we're around.
You know what? I have that weekend. I don't know that I'm going to go because it's going to cost money. I think this is something I would go to if it were free out of sheer morbid curiosity, but I don't know if I would go otherwise, is my 15-year high school reunion.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Can I go?
Can you go? You want to be my date?
Yeah, why not?
Well, I know my wife doesn't want to go. She's,
all right, I'll put on a Stephanie Coffee.
We'll just say, you know, we'll come up with something. Oh, see, that's the thing. I mean, before Facebook, you could make up a lie and you could say, you know, we could be the two guys from Zach and Miri, you know,
that's right.
Brandon St. Randy and
Bobby Long,
you know, we could be those guys before the days of Facebook. But now everyone actually knows what's going on with us. So
I mean, you were 95, right?
Yes.
95. Yeah, obviously. Yeah, 15. So. So that means I'm going to have to deal with this stuff in 2012, when the world is ending, apparently.
Right. Has the world will end during your
high school. Actually, I kind of feel like the world would end if I went to my high school reunion, so. Yeah, that's about right. Okay.
So my 5-year, I was like, oh, I wish I'd gone. I don't know why. Or maybe I didn't know. My 5-year, I didn't care. The 10
years, it was too soon.
Maybe I wish I'd gone. But there's a lot of people there that I probably wouldn't get along with still.
Well, I saw photos of mine, and it was all student, like, government types and sports people. Like, I don't want to go to that.
It seems like there's a fairly good mix of people. But the truth about my class has always been that I was not as close to them as I was to people in your class or
same class here. In between.
I wasn't – there are people I know from the class of 95, but –
Yeah, same here. I was friends with some people in your class, but not like dying to see them.
Yeah. I mean, I see them on Facebook, and that's probably good enough. You know? So, anyway, that might be a good weekend. You know,
maybe then, or maybe just, you know, mid-November-ish or something like that. We'll work it out. We'll probably take suggestions, too. Send them to...
Yeah. Maybe we need a poll.
At Generation Goat.
At Generation Goat on Twitter. You can check... send us a message there and say, when would you like us to go to Fun Spot?
Yeah.
With you guys, you know.
And once we have some better ideas, we'll put up some suggested dates or something.
Yeah. If we run out of things to talk about at PodCamp, we'll just take the poll right there.
Yeah, there we go. Or we'll just drive over to Fun Spot. Come on, guys. Let's just go.
Let's ditch this popsicle stand.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? So that's what's going on with like events and things, but what else is going on?
What else is going on? Well, you were in a play.
I was in a play. That was not me. Wow, that was good. I was like,
I tried to go to your play.
I passed
twice.
You did try to go to my play. You didn't get to make it. I'm not
a loser. Nora and I booked tickets for Friday, right?
Right.
Well, why don't you tell people what the play was?
Oh yeah, so I was in this evening of plays called titled "An Evening of Steampunk and Robot Theater," which was nine short 10-minute plays as opposed to long 10-minute plays. Nine 10-minute plays. One of which was written by me, one of which I was directing. And I think the last time we goated, I knew I was going to direct one, and I knew mine, the one I wrote, was going to be in it, but I wasn't going to act. It had been 12 years since I acted. What happened is one of my actors dropped out, and I tried to find a replacement on short notice and didn't have any luck. And I pretty much had all the weekends free. I just had to clear one or two things. So I said, what the hell? Let me do it. And it was interesting to get back to acting after 12 years. I had a lot of confidence issues early on, but in the end, I got pretty high praise for the performance. So I was happy about it.
Nice. Well, it sounds like it all went really well, and I did try to come.
You did, but there was lots of traffic, right?
Well, I wanted to come on Friday with Nora, but I got sick, so it was time to stay home.
Right.
And so you very graciously got our tickets moved to Sunday. Mm-hmm. Nora and I left in tons of time to get there. It was a 2:00 start, right? So yep. we got to Portsmouth at like 1:30. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we're fine. There was this massive long line of traffic right before. There was a right-hand turn, and then Marcy Street was off the right-hand turn, whatever the right-hand turn was. Yeah. And the traffic was just stopped, and there was nowhere to park. So, okay, fine. You know, we're like, okay, it's like 1:45, but we're around the corner. It's no big deal. Google will get us there. Google hasn't let us wrong yet. Mm. And
no, not when we went to Fun Spot. Not.
Yeah, no, it was fine. So we, you know, it's never like, say, sent Chris and I to Harlem at 3 a.m.
No.
So we turned the corner and we couldn't find the stupid player's ring at all. It was on the street we were on. We were on Marcy Street. It had to have been there. Then we finally spotted it. But of course, there's no parking
right
anywhere. So. Like, okay, there was a parking garage up a couple streets. We'll just drive up there. It's closed.
Oh, God.
Like, oh, my God. Now it's 2:00. Like, okay, fail. So, like, okay, we'll find another parking garage. And we saw another, like, public parking sign. So we followed it. And then it took us across some water to another part of Portsmouth, which was easily a 20-minute walk away. And we were just like, all right, Chris will probably forgive us. We can't walk into the show at 2:30 and be like, hi, we'd like to sit down in the middle of your performance now. So
that's too bad.
I'm really sorry, but we tried. We did get there.
There was a wedding going on out back behind the theater on that afternoon, too. And the really funny part was that we have a gigantic robot suit.
Is it in her wedding photos?
No. There's a gigantic robot suit in the final show, the final play of the show. And traditionally what's had to happen is they've had to go... And that was the only matinee. So traditionally it's dark out. They go behind the building. They get into the robot suit out there and they come in through the back door during the lights out to bring the robot in. Because it's big and bulky and there's no room in the wings to get into the suit. So that afternoon we were expressly forbidden from going outside. And these guys who had perfected this particular thing of getting in there and getting into the robot suit outside now had to somehow in the very small backstage area get into the robot suit. Somehow they made it happen. But that wedding being there was a total, just, it was a big problem.
I remember when I was at Oxford, we did the Real Inspector Hound, the Tom Stoppard, and we performed it inside the Jacqueline Dupre Concert Hall, which is just a very simple stage. It's not really a thrust because it's higher, but it's like your high school auditorium, basically, except there were no wings of any kind. And no backstage. Okay. So we set up these two, like, folding clothing dividers on the sides of the stage to go for our entrances and exits. But we had to block everything so that we never had to cross the stage during a scene, which was tricky. But there were two scenes where this girl, Clover, who was in our play, had to completely change all of her clothes.
Oh, gosh.
And that just happened to be during one of the scenes where, like, four of us, including myself in a wheelchair, because I was Major Magnus Muldoon, mm-hmm. are taking up what is effectively as much room as your bedroom closet. Now, this would have been okay because it's theater and we're all like, yeah, we've seen it before. Yeah. But Clover was like, okay, absolutely no one can look at me and please don't bump into me. Like, but Clover, there's no room for any of us to move and we have to watch the action because we have to go on when this thing hits the floor. Well, you can't look at me. And she would, like, throw a fit. So we had to, like, somehow close our eyes, huddle in a corner, and still make our entrances and exits twice a show. Good times.
That is, yeah, that was one of the more interesting things about getting back to the theater was the backstage stuff. And, you know, it's the backstage area is actually upstairs from the theater. And of course, we have to be very quiet because the floors are thin and people can hear you right up there. But also, it's a very small space and you've got 11 actors all trying to, you know, get ready at the same time. There's not really any private space, so it's not much of a better situation backstage than what you're describing. And of course, when you've got 9 different plays and you've got those 11 actors, almost everybody in multiple shows, people doing costume changes left and right. But it's a fun theater, and I may in fact go to a writer's meeting to discuss with them, you know, the possibility of there will be a bunch of newer playwrights discussing the possibility of staging stuff there in the future.
Oh, cool.
So,
be sure to come like a week early if you ever do. Wait outside.
It is tricky to find parking there. It's I don't know why that the parking garage downtown would have been closed.
Yeah, it was just closed. All the entrances were closed, and it was like, oh, okay.
That's really.
Yeah, it was a little scary, but sorry.
So show went well. Made some new friends and
nice.
I hope to do it again. You know, I never thought I'd be hoping to act again. I mean, the one thing that I not worry about, but the one thing that I think about is the role that I had was pretty dramatic and angsty. And could I do something funny? But actually, in the show, I ended up doing a somewhat humorous role as the radio announcer because we made my play into a staged version of a 1930s radio drama.
Oh, fun.
And you
should have told me it was going on. I would have tried to come.
I'll be better about that next time.
Right.
So I did do some comedy and it got some laughs. So nice. I guess I could do either one. And it was a fun thing to do for a couple of weeks.
Cool.
I'm kind of weirded out that I'm not going off to a show tonight.
No.
But, you know, forget that. Moving on. Speaking of forget that. Wasn't that a great transition?
Boom. Wow.
Boom.
That actually worked really well.
The last episode of Generation Goat, we started off and ended with an amazing CeeLo song called Fuck You.
Right.
And in the ensuing weeks, the song has gone beyond internet viral popularity to the point where they wanted to put it on radio. And unlike a certain Nine Inch Nails song from back in the day where they just sort of went, you know, I wanna... You Like an Animal.
Or Laid by James, where they just changed one word to sings.
Yeah, exactly. Unlike that, they have decided to change the song to Forget You.
Yeah. First off, one of those is one syllable and the other is two.
Right.
How does that work?
He has to stretch it out. He has to sort of insert two... It's stupid. I mean, it goes back to my same complaint about California Girls, the Katy Perry song. Like, all right, which of course most people will agree is not as good a song as Fuck You. But anyway,
she's easier to look at than CeeLo.
This is true.
Throw that out there.
I don't know. CeeLo's kind of a sexy man, you know, sexy big man. You know?
All right.
He's rocking those glasses in that video.
True.
But if you don't want to play the song as intended, as recorded, don't play it. If you can't play it in your format censoring.
Censoring.
With your censoring.
Whitewashing.
Yes,
I was just going to see if you were going to keep repeating words.
If you're not going to play it as intended, don't play it at all.
Well, the thing is, it's not great promotion because people are going to hear that song. It's not going to be as funny. It's not going to be as, provoking. It's just going to be, oh, wow, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not going to sell that record.
No, it's not. I mean, and I guess they're trying to sell it. The people that they're trying to sell it to are on
song.
Yeah, and they're on the internet. If you're trying to sell who's buying stuff based on what they hear on the radio, I guess is
not me.
Yeah, not me.
I mean, unless you count like Last FM radio or
occasionally. Well, I mean, I guess I should say me because there are a great number of songs. If you check my Last FM that obviously came from me listening to the radio too much.
I haven't listened to like actual music radio that was either non-NPR, non-classical in a very long time. Like, I'm not even sure if any of the stations I used to know and like in this area even exist.
Like, FNX is still around.
Yeah. But in what form? Because for a while, FNX decided it wanted to be BCN, and it was all like, who needs alternative music when you have Limp Bizkit? And we were like, no.
Yeah. But they're still around, weirdly enough. The River is still around. That was kind of like a lower key alternative. BCN's gone, obviously.
Right.
What other ones did you listen to back then?
Actually, it was pretty much FNX and occasionally The River. And then occasionally there were college radio stations that were interesting, but they came and went. Yeah. Like yours.
Yeah, like mine. Which WHAT 87.9 FM.
I get to guest on.
You did.
Apparently. I have
you know what?
Memory
we should,
in that room.
We should find that tape. Actually, I probably have that tape. Oh, I just don't have a tape recorder.
Well, that would be interesting.
That would be Generation Goat number 0, wouldn't it?
God, I don't even remember it.
Well, what I remember about
it I remember hanging out, but I don't think I said anything, did I? I think I just told you what to play because I thought it was your car.
Yeah. It was a very weird weird show because both you showed up, my dad decided to show up on the same day, so I had your picks and I had my dad's picks, and my dad did a lot more of the talking, I think.
Yeah, I remember it kind of.
Yeah. So
wow, I'm old, dude.
Yeah, we are old.
Good lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Maybe one day if we don't feel like recording Generation Go,
we'll just throw that up there. You know, why not? I mean, that I honestly, those are the last 10 or 15 audio cassettes that I have left. Are old old episodes of my radio show, Complete and Utter Randomness, that I've meant to like, because it would be fun to like listen to the break. It would be embarrassing probably, but it'd be fun to listen to the breaks and hear what we were playing and so on.
All right, let's do it. I have a tape player.
Do you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Bring a tape along when we plan our PodCamp Glory. And if there's anything worth putting up there, we'll maybe...
Fun.
Let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we you know, one thing that comes out of going back over old stuff is occasionally, at least for a podcast I used to listen to that apparently is no longer in existence... is a theme song. Often theme songs come out of like hacking together the funny stuff you said from days gone by.
True.
We don't
really have a theme song so much as we have auto-tuned wolves.
No. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right. We do have that, but we don't have a theme song. And I guess I wanted to ask you, like, what do you think about the idea of a theme song for a podcast?
Well, this is the thing, because now Smodcast has an MC Chris theme song.
Yes.
Which, you know, good for them. Mm. But I don't know. I like having the freedom to put quirky songs at the start of your podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe I mean, you need a goat jingle.
Maybe a goat jingle. I talked to somebody about this, and we were sort of kind of like, the fact that we can change up what song starts off the show sets the mood, you know, it sets, sets the tone. And
it gives you something good to look back on when the podcast is like this.
Exactly. You're like, oh, I can't wait to hear what they put at the end. Maybe that'll make it worth it.
Yeah.
But one thing that I would hate to have happen, and it's kind of well, I don't know. There are some other things we'll complain about at PodCamp about Smodcast. But
sure.
I don't want to
throw rocks at people who have never done this wrong.
But one thing that I would hate to have happen is right now, one of the reasons I still listen to radio is because I have no working tape player or CD player in my car.
Okay.
And I'll...
Can one we of the start a telethon for that? Sorry, carry on.
One of the stations I listen to is the 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay.
As you know, I don't listen to sports talk. I don't watch sports whatever because I don't get ESPN, any of that stuff. So if I'm driving around town and I've got a few minutes, I'll turn that on. Their theme songs are often like one riff looped over and over and over again from like a rock song. So for instance, the guys who are on 2 to 4, 2 to 6 or whenever they're on, they have a loop from a Pearl Jam song. I want to say it's Daughter. No, it's something from Verses. They have just this one loop, this one riff looped over and over and over again. And that's what they play.
That's not annoying at all.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they play coming into their show. And then for each of the breaks, they come out of like the same, they use like the same 4 or 5 songs, just loops of an instrumental riff.
Well, let's not do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, the MC Chris thing for Smodcast doesn't bother me that much. I've actually kind of gotten used to it.
The guy wrote a great song about Boba Fett. So what are we going to do?
Yeah. I mean, he could pretty much coast from now on.
Yeah.
So it doesn't bother me that much, but I don't know. You know, I kind of like what we do.
Yeah, I like it. But if somebody were to write a goat song,
yes,
we would totally throw that up there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, why not?
Why not?
You know, we could still. Well, I mean, see, that's the thing. You know, what happened with them? It sounds like is that they got a theme song and then they decided, well, we're not. Oh, we're not going to play music going in.
Forget
we're not gonna
that.
Oh, yeah. Forget that. We're gonna play the theme song coming in and coming out. So, I don't want to.
But we don't have commercial breaks, you know. Like Will Wheaton throws some commercial breaks into Radio Free Burrito for some reason. But
I had no idea that Will Wheaton actually had a podcast.
Oh you should check it out. But we don't have that. We don't have faux commercials.
No.
So
good.
We could.
I guess.
I don't know what we'd advertise.
The
better pants. Podcasts. Tired of listening to Generation Goat? Could be listening to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we could advertise. What's that?
Nothing. What?
No. You know, we could advertise books or albums or.
You've got a book.
I do. I have a book. All He Left Behind, which came out.
And you jerks.
What's that?
Nothing. Tell us about the book again.
The book, yes, the book of short stories, All He Left Behind, of 11, I'm over-promising, 11 short stories that I wrote between 2002 and this year. So it's,
Let's call it 10, under-promise, over-deliver. That's the way to go.
Because the first one is kind of just like a brief monologue.
Don't go too far down. Don't undersell it too much.
Yeah, $12 at ecc1977.com. You know,
nice.
There's our advertising.
I'll throw an ad on the Jengoat site, just because I probably should have like a month ago.
No, but that's one thing that I did when I was
welcome acting. To our monosyllabic podcast.
One of the parts I had to act was as a robot, and towards the end of it, somebody strangles me.
No.
And I had to do the sort of robot breaking down, and it sounded kind of like that, kind of like No, it sounded better.
That actually sounds like me in the morning these days.
So I'm looking.
No, you're not. Your screensaver's on. I can see that, jerk.
It came on. One of the weird things about I love my Mac, but every once in a while when we're recording, it gives me, you know, normally if the screensaver's kind of come on, it gives me like a dim screen for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
You know that it's coming. But every once in a while, it just goes black. And and I'm completely shocked and I have to sort of scroll. I'm looking at the list of things we wrote down to talk about, which are obviously boring you as you yawn over there.
I'm so tired of you, dude. Just whatever.
I'm looking at the list of things that we talked about, and this is one thing maybe we should talk about at PodCamp is the transition or lack thereof.
That's true. Transitions are rough. a lot of time wasting looking for a
way to talk about the next thing on our list.
Let's just jump to it. Hang on, I'll come up with a transition. Hey, did you see Glengarry Glen Ross?
The waters for closers, right?
Right. So anyway, we're thinking about Black Cab Sessions, which is a site that I occasionally feature on Shulisten. They do, it's pretty straightforward. They have a standard black cab in London, which is fitted out with recording gear. They get people like Lissy or Weezer or whoever to come sit in the cab. They ride around, they record songs. And once upon a time, we did this with Mr. Andy Hicks of the Pluto Tapes.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember what car we were in. It certainly wasn't black.
No, it was my car.
Was it your car? Okay.
It was my my Honda Civic, which is still going. Had its 270,000th birthday. just last week. Still driving.
Very cool.
Very excited about it. I was extremely happy to hear the guy at the shop when I had to take it in for something say, yeah, you'll get like another 100,000 miles out of that easy.
Sweet.
Like, yes, I will, because it would be Japan. But anyway, so once upon a time, and I, you know, I have a couple things from that. We went to Rockport, I think it was, with Mr. Antix, and he serenaded us.
He did.
Outside and in the backseat of the car.
Yeah, and while one of my fondest memories of that is that that is where the second verse of the most modern version of Never Forget came from. Because we were in the car and...
Never Forget being a song, which I'm sure you all know.
Yes, yes, of course.
Was from our high school / almost college band.
So the song Never Forget, we had written it in John's basement in, 1997?
Six or seven. Probably six.
Yeah, that's right. Probably summer, fall 96.
Yeah.
Because we recorded a demo tape called Never Forget, and then we made the song Never Forget like 2 months later.
Done.
So we had written it, and then this trip to Rockport was a few years after that, and the first thing Andy says, he's like, I like that song, but the chords are too hard to play. And he's like, can we change them to this? And I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Artistic integrity. You can do whatever you want, man.
So then we're sitting there and we're like, well, yeah, the first verse was good, but the second two were like all in jokes. So we sat down and wrote a second two verses. And the middle verse survives to this day. That other verse, I don't even remember what it was now, but I rewrote it sometime in like 99 or 2000. Mm. It was pretty fun, and we should, you know, do it again.
We should do it again. We should challenge Mr. Andy Hicks to come and perform in our very own driving around.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and we've still got the same car.
Still got the same car. Same great acoustics.
Green Honda Sessions.
That's right. It could work. Just a one-off.
Yeah, why not?
It's a way of getting Andy to come to our podcast, because we can't seem to get him on the phone, even though he keeps saying, hey, that'd be fun.
Yeah. So, well, you know.
Tell you what, we'll pick you up at your place and we'll drive you to another place where there's yummy food. Mm. All you got to do in the middle is play some music.
We could drive him to Fun Spot.
We could drive you to Fun Spot.
There we go.
You don't have to play the whole ride.
No, tell him he has to play the whole ride.
All right, you got to play the whole ride one way.
One way. And you gotta let us record it and then
sell it,
and the proceeds will go to two charities.
And your car stereo.
The Clark Memorial something fund, and the Martin
I Just Want Your Money fund.
Yes. Right. So
there you go. It's a sweet deal. It helps out charity. Andy Hicks, we challenge you to do the right thing for charity.
Yes.
Come on over to see us.
I think that works for me.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we're back. Sorry, everybody. Looks like Chris's power went out, or was trying to go out. But yeah. We're back, and you're saved from a really boring monologue I was going on there. So
that's all right. I was interested. You know, actually, I sort of, even though the power went out, I could still hear you speak. No.
Yeah. It's because I'm on the same continent now, and it's so windy. I think the sound is just.
I think so.
Yeah,
well, I was trying to pay attention to the voice coming on over the wind rather than the sound of the goats and the auto-tuned wolves chewing on my...
Yes, I can hear them now.
Chewing on my my wires. So.
Haunting.
Yes.
Anyway, all right, so it's probably a sign from God that we should just wrap this whole monstrosity up, but
I think so.
It looks like 8 or 9 days, October 23rd or 24th, we'll be at PodCamp, probably, maybe, possibly, for you to come and mock in person and ask us questions like, what the hell is wrong with you and why are you wasting our time?
We would appreciate those questions.
Those are good questions, and we look forward to hearing them from everyone. But when we get a date and a time, we'll put them up on the Generation Goat site, and you'll find them on the PodCamp New Hampshire site, which we'll throw in the show notes.
Right.
You should check it out anyway, because it's probably going to be a cool time in Portsmouth, if you're into this sort of thing.
Yeah, and it'll tell you all the other stuff that's going to be happening there.
You know, and hey, tell Generation Goat, well, whatever you're thinking, really, but if you're interested in Fun Spot, suggest a time. And when we start getting some ideas, we'll suggest some times, and hopefully... you can come and watch me whoop Chris at Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, and you might even find us pulling into the Fun Spot parking lot with a certain Bostonian guitarist, tied up in our backseat.
That's right. Hopefully, Andy will do the right thing, help out charities that support local car stereos, very local to Chris as they're in his car.
Yes,
and also just having a good time. So. Yeah, maybe, you can come and meet the Pluto Tapes, or one half of the Pluto Tapes, as it were. Mm.
Yeah, because who knows if he'll remember to bring the robot that sometimes sits on the stage,
So we'll see. Hopefully it'll be a good time had by all, and if not, you can, walk away from that going, wow, I thought things were pretty bad, but thank God we're not like that, man. Thank God we're not like that. And that's really what we're all about at Generation Goat.
Yeah, we attempt to make you feel better about yourselves by being ourselves.
I think we've done a good job of that this time, Chris.
I think so.
If only we had LeVar Burton to sum it all up for us now, but... Oh, well. Anyway, thanks, everybody. Hopefully, we'll see you at PodCamp or at Fun Spot. Take it easy, Chris.
Take it easy, John.
Bye. Oh, the kid is-